Hi, this is Greg Robertson, and welcome to another early edition of Listing Bits. With me today, I have my very special guest, Jeremy Crawford. Hello, Jeremy.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
Well, it's 7-something in the morning here in Austin, Texas, and you reminded me that, yes, I did make this meeting time, so it's completely my fault. I'm doing good. How about you?
We're doing great. Just starting to wrap up the last day here at the Rezo Technology Summit in Austin.
Yeah, congratulations. I keep telling this every time I see you, but this thing's like CMLS now, man. I mean, you're getting huge numbers here.
Yeah, this is our fourth sellout over the past 4 events, and we've actually been capping attendance, though, because we want it to be interactive. And getting more than 250 people in a single room, it loses that experience. So I'm glad that we've been able to sell it out, but also maintain active participation from the audience.
Well, I can tell, it's like it's starting to catch a buzz here because you start seeing some of the vendor sales guys kind of, you know, haunting around the lobby bars and the areas, whatever. And so it's becoming a popular event when, you get that kind of crew out here. So,
We love our lobbyists because they do sponsor, and we try to keep registration as low as possible. I mean, for $300, where are you going to get a conference that feeds you breakfast and lunch and hosted receptions every day?
No, and you're pretty busy in those things. I mean, I was sitting in the front row with you yesterday, and you're like the AV guy too, and you're kind of going back and forth and getting everybody on track. But and the content was great yesterday.
Yeah, it's a good balance of broker, technology company now, both participating, doing presentations, technical details, but business side too, and see what's going on in the brokerage market.
Yeah, I thought, and you had like some, a little going back and forth the speakers there. You had Kurt up there, you had Alon up there, you had, a lot of the speakers there. It's interesting to kind of get a perspective now. Michael has been, Michael Werzer from FBS has been talking a lot about standards and your guys' the Rezo API, the web API. And there's been a bit of a dust up here, coming into the show regarding, all the different kind of now, I think, options people are coming in with in the industry for listing input.
Yeah, I think what's happened is brokers are driving, wanting different options to edit their listings, control where they go. The world's full of competition. Rezo's a unique world where we're not a competitive environment. We're collaborative among competitors. And so when you walk out the door, they compete extensively and standards help them do that. You walk in the door and you take your competitive hat at the door. But at the end of the day, you are on stage with some competing products powered by standards. And there's also a little pivot in the industry and a debate between where RETS has been for 15 years with data distribution and editing listings now and where the industry is pivoting to the API. And there's some expense to people to change over. And people like the old, people like the new. And it puts a little action on stage between presenters, which is good for the industry to get used to.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a bit, because I think the controversy that from the more of a sales guy kind of perspective, was looking at it where a lot of, especially the kind of traditional existing vendors have been using like a format of RETS, right? And now you guys are now coming up with this new type of standard for RETS, which is this Rezo web API, right? Am I right?
Exactly.
Okay. So I think the article I was reading from Michael was that's where the future is, and we need to kind of gear everybody towards that. But there's been some resistance from traditional vendors saying, hey, we've been using this for a while. It's been working. Why do we need to change to something that isn't even here yet? And the danger there could be, as a lot of people say, there are going to be 2 standards or maybe even 3 standards or something. So how do you kind of alleviate that? Or, maybe I'm not phrasing it or saying the right thing.
Mark Wise said this week, he said, you're building a new infrastructure. You're building a brand new interstate. One of the hardest things is the off-ramp and the on-ramp. You have a different interstate that's worked well for you for 15 years. You've got it embedded into your products and your environment. You've got investment into it. And it's been a phenomenal standard. I mean, we don't have cars 15 years old. How do we have a technology standard that's been that solid for 15 years? It's been that good. But the needs are shifting. The needs of mobile are shifting, and lightweight standards for accessing data are shifting. So the new API standard to access MLS data gives a lot of new companies the opportunity to have a lower barrier to entry and to be able to develop lightweight mobile apps. And then we move into when we discuss listing update, and we're turning the direction of the data. There are a lot of applications out there that have been using Rets Update for many years. FMLS has been using it for over 10 years alongside Georgia MLS for dual entry. It's worked. It still works today, and the standard itself is always going to be available, just like Flash is available today still. It's just not being updated in its developmental path. But the new API gives a new option for people, and I think we're going to see parallel uses from different technology companies. Some are going to use both at the same time. Some are now just going to use the API, and some will look to embrace API update when it's a little more matured and comes about later towards the end of this year, and we actually see it putting into play into some different environments that are out there.
So what's the ceremony or procedure to say, okay, ta-da, here's, you know, the new Rezo web up, you know, web API. I mean, is there a date you guys have, like, okay, now let's start using this, or are we in that, or is it released? I mean, how does that work?
For accessing MLS data, about half of the agent population is represented with API access now. Mm-hmm. So you can take a look at 600,000 to 800,000 agents that are out there that have MLS access via API. So that allows the startup companies today to get in there and access that data. From reversing the direction to update, you know, we're looking at that specifications under development with all the subject matter experts out in the industry. So everyone that's really involved in writing update software is also involved with Rezo writing the specification for the API update. Many of them already use Rets Update today, but they're passionate enough to also contribute to an evolution of the new standard. When will there be, you know, the ta-da moment for update? I think what we need to see is the specification completed, hopefully by the end of this year, and then have two or three MLSs be early adopters to allow a broker to choose whatever input system they'd like to choose to put in their listings into the MLS and control some data distribution aspects as well.
Okay, so explain to the listeners, like you say, like a lot of jargon there a bit. There's update, right? Yep. And that's being worked on. And the other piece, what do you call the other piece?
Distribution.
Distribution and update, right? So basically one way is just getting data from somewhere and sending it out to people.
Absolutely.
Right? And then the update is a portion where you can actually update the database that it's coming from. Like listing input would be
listing input, exactly. But listing input not from your traditional MLS login, listing input from any application you'd like to do, walk into your consumer's home with your cell phone and change all the photos.
So the distribution part of that web API, that's available now.
That's available today, and many people are using it. Startup companies that didn't invest in the older Rets specification, they're all about it. They can get time to market. We've got a presentation here this morning where they're showing 24 hours time to market in a new MLS. And so you take a look at times it used to take months for a new software developer to understand a proprietary means to access data. And now we have a company yesterday showing an IDX website that can be turned on in 10 minutes. A company today.
Oh, it wasn't 10 minutes. It was 10 seconds. You're talking about Agent Squared, right?
Yeah, Agent Squared.
That to me is like a representative of like really the only kind of vendor I've seen that really is taking advantage of what APIs can do. And he's using, I think, Spark from FBS, right?
He's doing the Spark API, but he's also working with CRMLS with their API,
right,
setting them up and testing it out for their market. And MLS Listings, I believe, is working with them as well. But this morning, we're going to have Agent Inbox showing the same type
Tyler,
of embracing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think some of these new guys, it totally makes sense coming in here to do that. So then it begs the question, you know, what about the old guys like me, right? So we've got an infrastructure for our products like Cloud CMA and, well, not really Cloud CMA, but Cloud MLX and Cloud Streams, where, you know, we've been using this traditional, you know, the traditional kind of Rets for, and, you know, we have 200 MLSs set up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there's, you know, more out there, people out there that have even more than that. What's the get for me? a vendor like me to kind of switch to, you know, this new stuff?
Well, I think that your own personal business model and technology needs are going to drive that. You're in 200 MLS markets today. Tomorrow, you're going to be in 210 MLS markets. You may want to kick the tires of using the API and see if it's best for your platform. RETS was built to replicate data. The API is built to access it on the fly without replicating the data out of an MLS into your own technology company. And so you may want that power of the API not to have to deal with data. And the MLS may want to provide you the API instead because it helps them be better stewards of the broker's data by making sure there's not multiple copies out there. Now, for you to go change 200 MLSs, that's an infrastructure cost that you have to think about what's right for your business. But I think it's an opportunity to try one or two MLSs, see if it works better for your platform, see if you've got some features there you can leverage you didn't have before. See if some things are missing. You can contribute back to Rezo to say, this is great, but we'd like you to add this or this as far as functionality goes. And then see if it makes sense to start to move your other 200 MLSs over into using the API method.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be some vendors. I'm trying to think now if there's something that we do, but just as an example, reporting or some sort of analysis, right, where you almost need to have the data in your own server that you could start running algorithm, you know, doing stuff.
Big data.
Yeah. And then start like, okay, here's a chart for this. Here's a chart for that. You really can't do that like just making calls.
Absolutely. You know. And you still replicate the data with the API.
Right. Okay. So is it more getting the updates of the chain, the deltas of that kind of thing? Is that how it's being used?
Yeah, absolutely. But you can still, there are those that are doing replication because big data analytics, you want to take that MLS data, you want to crunch it against tax data and environmental data. You need a copy of the data for that. That's not 80% of the companies that are out there. Many of them are just, you know, IDX website technology vendors and mobile platforms. So some still need to replicate the data. They can still do that with the API. It's different on how you do it, but the functionality is still there. It just gives you the option more so not to have to replicate the data in an easier fashion.
Right. So then do you have to, in those cases, what about like an IDX site? I think there was something in this that was coming out new where it could access like save search data or, you know, things of that method. Is that part of the whole standard now? Or
yeah, absolutely.
Is that coming soon?
No, that's actually built into the data dictionary. We call that safe search portability. The frustrating thing for me, I bought a house in Texas when I moved to Dallas. I used one interface. I liked Redfin's website. Mm-hmm. My wife liked Realtor.com's website. It drove me nuts. Every time I changed my safe search, I'd go have to log into her Realtor.com and change her safe search. So data dictionary supports portability of safe searches. So if those two organizations embrace that, they could exchange safe search information. We would have never had to have done that extra step as consumers looking for a house. And so that's an opportunity with the data dictionary and its support of safe search portability. And I think that's a huge need in this industry, because if you take a look at it, that's one tiny use case. Agents have thousands of prospects in their MLS system and thousands of searches tied to that. And then they go off to their, you know, HomeSnap mobile app, and all that work is not there. And this gives them the ability to port it there. So they can have five or six products and they all have the same safe search carts that the agents have their consumers pick and choose which products they like, which properties they like. They can port that information now if they're using the data dictionary, and the API allows for that in a very lightweight manner to transfer that around.
So in that case, you know, again, for the listeners of kind of understanding what has to be done, like if I'm a vendor and I want to, okay, I'm in, is it just a matter of me using it or the MLS has to also adopt it?
Well, the MLS has to adopt it so they can distribute it to you.
Okay.
That's a wealth of data that's in the MLS. It's not just about the listing anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about the consumer. It's about the client. It's about their activity that they're doing in the MLS and what they've favorited. And so the MLS needs to adopt the data dictionary standard and allow technology companies like yourself the access to that data so you can recreate that safe search, that consumer experience they did in the MLS portal in your own application. So the agent goes to Cloud CMA and boom, they have the same view of the safe search, the favorited properties that they had inside the MLS.
Right. So then how many MLSs out there have kind of adopted that? Or is this kind of very brand new?
I would say it's Data Dictionary version 1.5.
Okay.
So it's a little bit newer, and MLSs are working to adopt that. This 2017 year is the year of safe search portability.
Okay.
You're looking at the wow moment. It's
right.
MLSs turning that on and technology companies getting their hands on it. This is that year for being able to really accomplish those goals.
No, we have a product, a listing alert product called Cloud Streams. It would be, you know, it's been very difficult to kind of, that portability would be, is going to be a great thing. So the year is now, and they have to kind of do that. Now, is it something the MLS vendor does to kind of implement this? I mean, or
yeah, for most of them. Yeah. I mean, we know that 80% of the MLSs have 6 to 7 of the top MLS software technology vendors powering their products. So it relies on working with the MLS software provider to implement that. But they embrace this. And if you take a look at some MLSs are running 2 parallel MLS softwares now. You know, you have Paragon, which is a great MLS platform, and Matrix, which is a great MLS platform. Now you take a look at many MLSs are running both of those simultaneously. So they're going to want to transfer those safe searches between those 2 MLS softwares. And there's a lot of motivation there for them to go ahead and implement for their customers the ability to do that.
Yeah. Is that a big cost? Do you think, can the vendors do this? I know, you know, if there are any software company like we are, you know, there's a long list of things that their customers want.
Absolutely.
Right. Is this something that they're going to charge their customers to do? Because it's work, right? I mean, to implement this thing can't be like just, you know.
Yeah. That depends on what is that contract vendor relationship that they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, some MLS software providers might charge for that. A lot of MLS software providers have given standards advancement to their MLS customers at no charge because they feel that working with standards helps not only the industry, it helps the MLS software company as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's, and the way I look at it a little bit too is like, you know, it's, we've got a moat right now, right? As far as around this place. And really there's 2 things to that. And, you know, you're working towards the data side and standards, and that's going to make everything easier to develop, build against. But there's also, and I hate, you know, I keep saying this, but the permissioning is also the other side of this, right?
Yeah. Or lack thereof.
Yeah. And, I've said this before on another podcast of, you know, people I work with, I hate them bringing me problems without also having a solution at the same time. And I've kind of racked my brain around, you know, what's the solution here? Because if I'm a new developer, I may be able now with these standards and this API stuff, set up something in 10 minutes and get something working or whatever, 10 days, whatever. But it might take me 10 months to get the actual permission to sell the software in that market.
Yeah. So major challenge where I think we're shifting. Finally, you know, I've been in this industry for a long time. I had great stints in working at Sandy Core and MLS listing, so I understand the depths of data licensing, the process mm-hmm. of approval, and so forth. But I think Council of MLS, mm-hmm. MLS best practices are trying to help standardizing data licensing agreements. What many people don't realize, NAR has a turnaround time policy for IDX access. As an MLS, you have 5 days to respond to a broker's request for IDX. I talked to hundreds of vendors that don't understand that and hundreds of MLSs that are not aware of that. And that's to help give the brokers the data that they need for their product. So I think that's helping. I think maybe some additional policy changes might help past the scope of IDX because IDX is just one set of products that a broker needs in their market. And I think many MLSs are hearing from their brokers it's time to shift and move quicker. And access to the permissions of data licensing and the agreements and the legal process, I think, is moving faster. What was the big announcement this week was Spark API having a developer license availability. So now we had CoreLogic Trestle partner with the Austin Board of Realtors and launch a reference server that's a developmental set of data. And within 3 days, we had 40 people request access as startup companies because they could never get their hands on developmental data that was actually real MLS data. And now CRMLS is doing the same. They're doing developmental data feeds. MLS listings are doing trial data feeds. And now Michael Werzer has engaged the Spark platform to help you shepherd in developmental access. And with
So now it's a vendor that's going to be, you know, not just these one-offs, but he's going to, from a whole standpoint of a vendor standpoint, he'll have that.
Yeah. And so essentially is you can request access to the Spark API for developmental access, and you can access that from multiple regions, and FBS will help you coordinate getting data access from the MLS side. So you can say, I do business in Wisconsin. There are 7 Spark API powered MLS data sets. I want those 7, so I cover the state, and they'll help you get that access from the developer standpoint. You still, at the end of the day, have to launch your product and get the rights to sell it. But I think now you have the opportunity. There's been a chicken and egg problem. You need to develop a product, but you can't get data to develop the product, so you can't show the product that you've developed to get data access. This developmental access gives you the ability to develop and flesh out your product, be it a brokerage product or a third-party technology solution, then go back into the MLS and show it fully baked with the data. So then at that point, they're giving you the rights to sell it in production. You've already got the data integrated, et cetera. And so that's where some of the shift this year has been very positive, is getting over that barrier. It's existing. It's going to be a while to get past it. There's some MLSs that are not going to be swift, but the majority of the large MLSs out there and the ones that are really helping their brokers are moving this envelope along.
Yeah, I mean, going back to there's a policy 5 days for whatever. I mean, I don't think any vendor wants to get in some sort of adversarial thing to start off with a MLS. You've got five days to give me that IDX data, right? Or it's just something we have to deal with. I don't know where that permissioning hat. Everybody's talking about what a great job you're doing and how things are moving, a lot quicker than they used to here. But to me, where does the responsibility getting the permissioning done? Because you have 2 factions going on now, really. And I get it. I mean, brokers are tired that the data is going everywhere, right? But at the same time, how do we get, data out there faster, right? So it's a tough challenge. Like I said, I don't have the answer, but I wish there was a work group or a Jeremy working on the damn permissioning side, right?
Well, the R&D work group. So what the R&D work group has been is, and Rizzo is fielding these requests. They're not standards creation requests. They're best practices of MLS management. So what R&D work group displayed this week is 6 months worth of work on content for CMLS, MLS best practices surrounding data consumers and data distributors. And so there's a new set of best practices that CMLS are going to promote and put out there to help MLSs understand how to get over that permissioning hump. But I think the onus factor is that the brokers want a specific product that needs MLS data. The brokers need to be a requesting party in the process to get over the hump at the MLS, because at the end of the day, it's the broker's data. It's the broker's business need. And so the broker needs to help the technology company not be adversarial, but get to the MLS, remind them of the policy, remind them of the turnaround time. But at the end of the day, remind them it's the broker's data, and they need a new product that needs data in it. And the reality is, it is for good purposes. There are not that many vendors out there that need MLS data alongside a broker that's doing it in a bad light.
Yeah.
As long as you have the broker shepherding the process along, that's really the power within the MLS to say, yes, this is a valid use and so forth.
So I think I know your story a little bit, but I mean, was the first MLS you worked at? I mean, do you have a background in real estate or,
what? No, technology. So computer science grad from East Tennessee State University. And then I went to work right after for Safeco Insurance as a regional IT manager. And then
Safeco, they're out of the Northwest, though, aren't they?
They're out of Northwest, but they had a region in Cincinnati that covered 3 states, Kentucky, Cincinnati, and Indiana. So we had a, 250 person regional headquarters. And so I was over all the IT and infrastructure there. And then I moved into BB&T. We were actually bank first. We had 450 employees, 45 branches. And so I managed all the back end infrastructure for that before coming along as employee number 16 at this small company called MarketLynx.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
Yeah. And so in 2001, I joined MarketLynx.
Doyle and all that?
With Doyle and Thad Shaws. And it was great. David Bolt came alongside Jim Ross. We came on board at the same time and was there as their director of networking operations and IT for 5 years as MarketLynx grew up into, obviously now the large CoreLogic conglomerate.
Right.
But that's where we brought in Inter Realty. We brought in Fusion MLS, if you remember them.
Yeah. Flash, right.
And moved into the First American umbrella of residential solutions before they spun off what is now CoreLogic. But in 2006, I went to Sandy Core to be their CIO and became a corporate officer. And then
who was the CEO at that time?
Ray Ewing had just came on board.
Okay. So was Ray.
John Hawley went to Netrust to be their CEO, and he's right there still today. And then Ray moved into the CEO position. So I worked with Ray for 5 years as the CIO there. And then
any advice for Sandy Core right now? Never, you don't have to answer that.
Mitch will tell you I need to defer from answering any questions, not to be disposed on tape. And then from there, Jim Harrison, needed some help up at MLS listings, and I came on board as his CIO and then COO, and also got to be a corporate officer there as well before coming on as now CEO.
How long were you over at MLS listings?
Right about 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great stint. Working from Jim was great, just like working from Ray. They're both great individuals, great CEOs to work for, and they're both well-ran organizations as MLSs. I mean, they're really doing a good job as providing products and services with the brokers at the forefront of their
So what needs. Appealed to you about this gig? Because, I mean, traditionally, Rizzo is like, it's been like a tough kind of thing, right? I mean, it's like what's going on? When is this going to happen and everything else? I mean, I can't.
It's kind of a little bit of the startup mentality for me that Rizzo moved with Art Carter and Rebecca Jensen and Rob Overman really worked hard in 2010 to say, we need to get it incorporated. We need to move it into a true nonprofit open source standards organization. And I had always been involved with Rizzo from 2001, mm-hmm. working with Stuart Schuessler and Paul Huffman on RETS
right.
from MarketLynx back in the day. How do we get data into WildFire from the MLS? And that's kind right, of right. where it all started in the late 90s. And as it came about, I had the opportunity to be work group chairs, be on the board of directors. And when Bob Gottesman had been there for a couple of years and decided.
He got a lot of things going.
Yeah. He got a lot of infrastructure built, doing a great job setting up processes and procedures. And then I kind of got the call of this position is going to be open. And I thought, I've always been passionate about Rizzo. I'm passionate about data, technically data, but the permissioning data. Let's get the brokers the products they need with right. data in it. I can't tell you how many agents called MLS listings in Sandy Court and said, I bought this new product at NER. And how do I get data in it? And it's 6 months later to get data in it. And they've done lost the product, right? And they want a refund because of the process, but also the technology integration. I thought Rizzo's moving forward. Let's treat it as a startup. Let's push the envelope. We have 3 official employees today. A new one that just started last Wednesday, Kristan, as our membership and marketing manager. So, now we've had 4 sellout conferences in a row. And I think that we've shown the value of standards can move faster than traditional standards organizations.
So what do you think for Jeremy is a win? Like, what are you going to gauge like success by? I mean, is it going to be when a X percentage of MLSs adopt this? I mean, what do you kind of, there's got to be some metrics that you got to, that's got to be your kind of North Star to say, if this happens, I know, it's here. This whole thing of standards we've been talking about and, it's arrived, right?
I think that the MLSs are really arriving. They're arriving today. They're adopting standards. We're certifying them. They're in great shape. Now becomes utilization. How do we leverage the API and the data dictionary for the benefits they provide? We need to get the brokers to move their infrastructure onto standards. And we need to get the technology companies like yourself to leverage those. Yesterday, Realtor.com said that moving to the data dictionary saved them 70% on resources and time to market. They're changing their infrastructure over to the data dictionary. Once they get through that process, and they aggregate 575 data feeds. That's a massive undertaking. When they adopt it and the brokers do the same in their technology products, that's when it's a complete win for the whole ecosystem.
What do you think, timeline?
Well, we have a lot of companies that are in the process of doing what Realtor.com, what MyTheo, what Homes.com is doing today.
Yeah,
I think over the next year, you will see MLSs will tweak what they've done to be even better, but you will see a big shift in the technology company. And then in the brokerage community, I think you're looking at another year into their internal environments because they are a little bit lagging on the speed of technical innovation. They get standards in place, they can leapfrog where they've lagged because standards are there for the purpose of innovation. And so I think this year is the year of the vendor community moving into standards. Next year, the brokers are going to be moving internally to their own internal systems on top of those that they use from technology companies.
Well, Jeremy, this has been fantastic. I mean, I appreciate that. I know you've got a starts in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we got to kick off. Yeah. My cell phone's buzzing to get on stage.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the time spent. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Greg Robertson and Jeremy signing off.
Thank you.
Thank you.